Blog Talk Radio.
If there is anyone out there who still doubts that America is a place where all things are possible, who still wonders if the dream of our founders is alive in our time, who still questions the power of our democracy, tonight is your answer.
Brown Sugar Radio is the food for your soul, enriching lives with many possibilities. We embrace and uplift our community with love, laughter, and inspiration. Today, I encourage you to keep learning, keep smiling, but most of all, keep striving to make your dreams come true. It's time to believe in yourself and walk into your new journey. Buckle your seatbelts for another exciting segment on the hottest urban show on the internet. It's time to get up, Brown Sugar Radio Lord listeners. We've got work to do.
Well, work to do, yes, indeed. And today is another fabulous day in the beautiful year of 2013. And you know how your show host always gets down. I am so honored today to have a very, very special guest that I want to bring amongst my loyal listeners. And so for those of you who have ever had a situation in your life that you truly felt like, you know what, how on God's green earth am I going to make it? Well, today you're going to hear the amazing story from tragedy to triumph is what I like to call it, from Pastor Anthony White, also who is a dear relative of mine. And so I think this is going to be awesome because we have some wonderful things we're looking forward to this year in July with our family reunion, and it's just awesome. And I wanted to really just kind of let my listeners know that his story is very extraordinary, and we're going to get into that in the next few minutes. But before we do, I want to bring him live to Brown Sugar Radio. How are you doing today, Anthony?
I'm very blessed. I'm very blessed to be living on today. Amen.
Okay, I heard that. Absolutely. And, you know, I just have to say now, for my loyal listeners, this is the awesome thing about Anthony's story in regards to him and I. We are actually, is it first cousins or second cousins?
We might be third cousins.
Might be third, right. Okay. This is the wonderful thing about Facebook. Now, I know a lot of people feel that Facebook is something that's negative and, oh, I'm closing my Facebook page. There's too much drama on Facebook. But you know what? It's only drama if you allow drama in your life. Amen? I use my Facebook page as an online historian. I use it to keep in contact with long-distance family members that I've never had the opportunity to meet, such as Anthony. But I'm going to change that this year. Man, I want to get to that family reunion in July. But not only that, it's also a documentary, because it marks important moments in your life, you know, such as weddings, anniversaries, the birth of a child, graduations. And so my Facebook page, when you look on my page, you don't see a bunch of chaos on my page because I refuse to let that in my life. What you see are positive quotes and inspirational, you know, segments from Brown Sugar Radio. And you'll always see, you know, pictures of my children, my husband, my family, the things that are important to me in my life. You don't see all that garbage on my page. And so I am so honored to have him because we connected through Facebook and we have our family reunion coming up this year. And he was sharing with me his story that he had went through. And I said, you know what, I got to have you. Within the first few sentences of him explaining what he was sharing with me, I was like, I got to have you on my show. Because I know it's someone out here that is certainly going through what you've been through. And I don't want for anyone to feel like they're hopeless. And that's what your story brings, hope. And I want to talk about the very beginning. We're going to go back. That's what I like to do. I like to, you know, educate my listeners on, okay, this is where you're at today, but what happened, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, to get you to where you are right now in this place? And I know you've been through a lot. And so share with us in regards to your humble beginnings, you know, when you first were into the hardships of your life, you know, the downs of your life, the things that made you the man today.
Well, I'd like to say this, you know, that God is awesome. He's been awesome in my life from day one. He's the savior of my life. And just to let you all know that when you go through, God is trying to take you to a certain situation in your life. I was a baseball player, and I got drafted to the New York Mets, and 2 weeks before I was going to sign the contract, I broke my hand, and I couldn't play no more. And so so a lot of money was at stake and everything, and I lost money, you know, the money before I got it. And so I said, you know what, I got to find a way of making money another way. So in the 80s, middle 80s, I started selling drugs. I was selling drugs, when I was selling drugs, it's like, you know, I was damaging people's lives and everything, and got shot at, and, you know, could have did 25 years in the penitentiary, but didn't do one day. God is an awesome God, and when I got out of the drug game, and I was also on drugs and alcohol, you know, I wasn't smoking crack cocaine or nothing, but I was smoking weed. I mean, every day I was drinking every day, and so came to a point in my life where my brother got killed. My brother got killed in 1993. He was at a party. He got murdered, found him in the back of a house. After my brother got killed, that was my only brother. He was my younger brother, and my life just took a big turn, you know. And so when my life just took that big turn, it seemed like he just smashed right in front of my face, like a diesel just ran over me. And, you know, and I was just so depressed, and I tried to take myself out. I started drinking a fifth of Crown Royal every day, and I started smoking an ounce and a half of weed every other day for 7 years straight. I tried to kill myself, you know, by the drugs and the drinking. And, I mean, I was just out there, just ruthless out there in the streets and everything. And you know, because I lost my only brother, my little brother, you know. And so when I lost my brother, you know, God still stuck by my side, even when I was, you know, doing myself so much wrong. And so in 2000, one day, I said, you know what, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I said, Lord, I said, I went through this, I went through that, got shot at, you know, and everything, and shot at people, and could have went to jail. Lord, I know that you kept me for a reason. Lord, I'm tired of getting high. I'm tired of getting high. I'm tired of drinking. I'm tired of this and that woman. I'm tired of just doing the things that I've been doing. I said, Lord, deliver me from these drugs. Deliver me from this alcohol. And don't you know God did it overnight?
Wow.
And I didn't go to no rehab or nothing.
Uh-huh.
I went to Jesus. And
okay,
I went to
look.
Jesus,
for real.
Hey.
That's it right there. Okay, look. Not to interrupt you, I have to say this real quick, though, because I always refer, my strength is Jesus juice. Okay, and so my fans know, my law listeners know, whenever I say, all right, you know, I had a bad day today, I have to go get my Jesus juice. They know exactly what I'm talking about, all right?
Hey, you know, I mean, you know, I took it to the Lord. I took it to Jesus in prayer.
That's it.
You know, I mean, in prayer, you know. And so he delivered me overnight from drugs and alcohol. But at the same time, when he delivered me overnight, the devil got mad.
Yeah, that's how he do.
The devil got mad, and for two weeks, I was clean and sober. For 2 weeks, the devil knew I was for real this time. It's been a lot of times that I got so high to where, you know, I don't want to get, you know, I say, Lord, if you bring me down, I won't get high no more. I've been through all of that. But this time I was for real, and the devil knew it. And so 2 weeks later, that was October 17th. So October 17th, 2013, it would be 13 years being clean and sober.
Wow. Look at God.
October the 31st of 2000, I was visiting my goddaughter and my goddaughter's mother's boyfriend. We got into an argument, and so I almost forgot that I'm gonna, you know, turn my life around. So when it hit me in my mind, I told that person that I was arguing with. I said, I ain't got time for this. I'm about to go. You know, I'm saved now. So I turned to get into my car to leave, and he was about 15, maybe 18 or 20 feet away. He was up on the porch, like 8 steps high. And as I was getting in my car, 5 gunshots came my way.
Oh, my goodness.
And my back was turned. And so the first thing you do when you hear gunshots or whatever is duck. So
right.
I ducked to try to get behind the car door. And then I turned back, and I said, this man's shooting at me because I've seen fire from the from the gun, from the barrel of the gun, you know, fire shooting off. And 2 bullets went over my head and 2 hit my car. But that one bullet hit me right behind my left ear. It missed my main artery, by 1 centimeter. It went downward. It went through my throat. It knocked my esophagus in half. Went through my throat, and it landed 5 inches from my lungs.
Wow.
And at that time,
goodness.
I was knocked unconscious. I was laying across the front seat. The person that was with me, we switched seats. The Lord gave me enough strength to get out the car. The Lord gave me enough strength to get out the car and walk around to the other side, to the passenger side, and the person that, you know, that was with me drove me to the hospital. And as we was leaving, that person came out with a 12-gauge and shot at us as we was pulling off with a 12-gauge shotgun. Mm. And he missed. But on my way to the hospital, I held the back of my head and I said, Lord, I said, I give up. I surrender, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. I didn't compromise with God. I said, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. Got to the hospital, walked in the hospital. The nurses said, you can't park right there. I said, lady, I just got shot in the back of the head. I need some help right now. It took them 4 hours. It took them 4 hours to help me.
Mm.
It took them 4 hours for me to sit back there, and then they finally did a surgery. So I had a trach in my throat, 14 stitches in my neck, 2 IVs, heart monitor, air ventilator, catheter, and a feeding tube. I was in ICU for 3 days, and I cold blew twice in a hospital. And then when I got out of ICU, now I was 33 years old when I got shot. The ICU room was number 33, and I was in there for 3 days, and I got 3 scars on me. I got one on my throat where the trach was, and where I got shot, and also my neck, I got 3 scars. Name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost. And when I got out of there, after 3 days in ICU, God started working with me. He started talking to me. I couldn't talk. I couldn't walk. You know, God laid me down, and he started talking to me. The Lord told me about forgiveness. 1 John 3:15 says, whoever hateth brother is a murderer. If you're a murderer in your heart, you have no abiding life within you. That means if you can't forgive, then you know you're going to hell. Hell ain't a bad word; it's a bad place to be in. So I said, Lord, I don't want to go to hell. So the Lord told me I had to forgive the person that killed my brother, also the person that shot me. And so I already forgave the person that killed my brother. I said, Lord, you got to work with me for me to be able to forgive the person that shot me. Long story short, I got out the hospital, but I had a hole in my throat. The doctor told me if the hole didn't close in 24 hours, I got to come back and get a voice box. Well, Thanksgiving Eve, I got out the hospital. Thanksgiving morning, I looked in the mirror, and the hole was closed. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Okay, look at that miracle.
And when that hole closed, and when I looked in the mirror, and I went to church Thanksgiving morning, gave my testimony, and God healed the rest of my body. But at the same time, God told me forgiveness. I had to forgive the person that shot me. God took me to that person one day. We seen each other on the street. That person got out the car. That person told me he was sorry for shooting me. That person told me that he wasn't trying to hurt me or nothing. He said, I want you to forgive me and your family to forgive me. And I had been preaching for 30 days, gave my first sermon 30 days before that. God used me to help that young man get saved.
That was the plan.
I was able to witness to him. You know, I was able to let him know that I forgive you from my heart, not just out of my mouth.
I'm really glad that you said that because forgiveness from your heart and not just saying it, you'd be better off not apologizing at all if you don't mean it. You know, because if you're not saying it from your heart, from the epitome of your heart down to the roots of your soul, it's not going to make a difference in your life. And unforgiveness can certainly eat away at a person. And so you were freed when you let go of all of those demons and all of those, you know, horrible emotions of unforgiveness.
Yeah.
It freed you.
And also revenge.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I want to, you know, of course. I mean, we keep it real, right?
Yeah, that's
He did that to me, and I wanted to do something to him, but God took revenge from me. God gave me forgiveness. And when I was able to forgive that person that shot me right, and he's standing right in front of my face, and he's saying, forgive me, I mean, you know, we got to forgive. How can we say we love people, our neighbors? You know, how can we say we love God and then we can't forgive or we can't love your neighbors?
Yeah,
so
that's
God
real.
God put me to a test right there because you got to watch what you pray for. I pray for me to see that man. And when I seen him, he was on his way to kill his brother, and his brother was right one block away from where we was. God put me in the path of him. And that young man said that 2 weeks after he shot me, he got shot 4 times. His car got shot up. He got shot in his chest, in his arm. He got shot in his leg, and he also got shot in the back of the head where he shot me at.
Mm.
And God delivered him, too. And so
who am I? Okay. Look, see, this is so awesome. I love the fact that we have grace and mercy
from
God.
And that's
what really matters at the end of the day. I get frustrated when I hear, you say you love God. You know, you just hear all the stereotypes when it comes to someone that's really trying to live a life that's pleasing unto the Lord. You're going to fall down, but what matters is that you get back up.
Yes.
You know?
That's it.
Yes. Oh, man. Come on now. We're about to have some church up in here. But I'm serious. It's ridiculous. We got to stop casting stones at one another. We got to get back to loving one another.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That's where it begins. And I love your story. I mean, I'm sitting here eating this up because your story, the main point at the end of the day, is forgiveness and restoration. And I love what God is doing with you and what he did with you and what he's continuing to do with you. And so many young men and women need to hear this. Holding grudges is not worth your soul.
It's not
worth your happiness because all you're doing is making yourself a prisoner
of
your own misery.
That's right.
Okay? And that's the whole thing in a nutshell. You know, it's letting it go. Don't hold grudges and, she did this to me, so I don't got time for her no more, girl. Or he did that to me. You know, I'm cutting him off. I don't have time to deal with people that's like that. No, that is not what God wants for us.
Exactly.
God wants unity. Because where there's unity, there's strength.
Yes. That's right.
You know what I'm saying? We have to bond together.
That's right.
And form a body of Christ and just know that we are all one. We're all brothers and sisters in the Lord, and that's what we have to realize. So when I see, you know, all of the killing and the shooting and the backbiting and just all of these horrible things that are going on in the world today, it number one, it opens my eyes and it helps me to realize that we are truly in the last days. But with that said, we got to do something about it.
That's right.
You know, what are you going to do? Where is your soul at? What do you have at stake?
Exactly.
It's your soul, you know?
Well, you know, I mean, that young man was sincere. I seen it in his face. He accepted Jesus right there on them streets.
Praise God.
And when he accepted Jesus right there in them streets, he hollered out to the top of his lungs, "Thank you, Jesus, I'm saved. Thank you, Lord, I'm saved. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah." I mean, for 30 minutes, we was out there shouting right there on them streets that he got saved.
Mm.
Then he came to church with me. And when we was in church, it was a revival. And I asked the pastor, I asked the pastor if I can give my testimony. He said, yeah. I gave my testimony. And I said, you see that person right there? He stood up. I said, "That's the person that shot me right there."
Mm.
And those people dropped.
Yeah, they couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe it because they're like, "How can you forgive this man? He almost took your life." But God had to. And this is what a lot of people don't understand. Whenever tragedy happens in your life, those are usually wake-up calls and warnings that God gives you in order to get your life right or to get you at that moment where he needs you to either submit to him or he needs you to witness to someone else. And that's what I'm beginning to learning in my life personally, that whenever, because I've been through a lot also myself, and I've had a lot of ups and downs, but at the end of the day, it's all personal growth.
Right.
Amen? And now I'm a wiser person. I'm a better person. I've given my heart to some, and they've crushed it. But do I hate them for it? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not, because what matters is my good efforts. God is holding my actions accountable. So whenever we do good deeds, don't look at it and say, "Oh, I was good to her, and she dogged me," or "I was good to him, and he messed over me." No, you were good to him, and so God is going to bless you for that.
That's right.
You know, that's what we got to look at. I was good to him. I was good to her. And so now, guess what? I'm looking for my blessings to come from God, because God already said, do not put your trust in man. He'll fail you every time. Every time. You're looking for that love in the wrong person, or you're looking for that accountability or that acceptance in man, you will be disappointed every single time. That's why I can tell my children, hold your head high, even me as their mother. I don't tell them, don't look for happiness in your mother. You look for it in God. Amen?
That's right. Amen.
Look for it. Look above. Look beyond. Look further. You know, and everything else will fall into place. And that's what I'm learning in my own life personally, what I have to do to prioritize and put everything in the right perspective at the end of the day.
And you know when you accept Jesus in your life, whatever it is that you're going through, God will take care of it when you give it to him. You know?
Yes, he will. Mm-hmm.
That young man, we had to go to court, okay? And he was looking at 30 years to life.
Wow.
So my prayer was for him. I said, "Lord, how can I determine another man's punishment? I said, Lord, let your will be done in this courtroom." Okay. I came into the courtroom by myself. The bailiff came up to me and said, "Hey, you by yourself, usually victims don't come into the courtroom, you know, by themselves." I said, "Well, I'm not by myself." I said, "I got Jesus with me. Come here, let me talk to you for a minute." So I was able to witness to the bailiff in the courtroom before court started.
Mm.
And then God released that man from doing 30 years to life.
Wow.
He walked out a free man. God did a miracle for him because he simply was from his heart. He was real with God. And when you are real with God, God will be real with you.
That's it.
So
that's it.
I know. And then God raised me up a little bit higher because God told me that he was going to make my misery my ministry. And that's what
that's
God
it.
Did with
yes.
me. He turned my misery into my ministry. And now my ministry is trying to go forth right now. You know, and I work with a lot of young people. I work with a lot of young people with their pants sagging, you know.
Uh-huh, right.
You know, I work with a lot of young people that's selling drugs, that own drugs, because you can't talk to them about anything if you ain't never been through nothing. Well,
yeah,
I've been through
real.
All of that. I've been through all of that, you know. Only thing I haven't been through is going to jail, so I can't talk to them about that. But I can talk to them about losing a brother. Not just a brother, but an only brother, younger brother. I can talk to them about selling the drugs and could have did time in jail. I can talk to them about being on drugs and alcohol. I can talk to them about all of that. And that's the ministry that God has given me. The word pulpit means to pull people out of the pit. The pulpit is not just inside of the church. The pulpit is wherever God leads you. It can be on the corner. And God has gave me a chance gave me an opportunity to buy a building that's two buildings in one in the heart of Kansas City, Missouri, and it's right where all the action is taking place. And so I'm looking forward into, you know, going into that and to help the young people. I have a youth center and a church. And, you know, I'll just be asking, I'm going to be asking people for help, you know, they can donate for help and everything, because when we talk about these young people and we say they shouldn't be doing this, they shouldn't be doing that, that man's pants sag, instead of talking about them, do something to help them. If you can't help them, don't hurt them.
Yeah, you know? I agree.
So that's what my mission is right now at this time, you know, two buildings in one, and it's a real good price, and I'm going to be looking for some help and everything. The word says you have not because you ask not. So, you know, so I'm just excited about what God is about to do, you know, in Kansas City.
Well, you know, one thing I want to mention, how you stated about everything you went through and now you're able to relate to the young men or young women that are, you know, constantly on the streets rather than selling drugs, using drugs, whatever may be the case, violence and so forth. I believe what happened when you went through that yourself, you gained what was called a street cred to those who were actually out there. Because had you been, and this is just all in slang, okay, I'm using slang terminology here, but they say a square.
Right,
you know what I'm
yeah.
talking about. They would have said, how can you relate to me? You were born with a silver spoon in your mouth, or, you know, you've never had problems. They would not be as receptive to hear what it is that you had to say.
Right. Well, I can tell you this. When I was coming up as a kid and everything, I was on drugs and alcohol for 22 years. I experienced it at first. Then the need of it came greater as I got older. But let me tell you this, somebody might be thinking like, well, what about your parents? Well, let me tell you, my parents was very instrumental in my life. I was raised up in a two-parent home. My parents just celebrated 44 years of marriage.
Wow, that is awesome.
Yeah, and, you know, and so I was raised up in a good family, good environment.
Okay, and look, y'all, this is my people now. This is my family,
yeah.
Okay, look. Yeah, that's right.
And let me tell you this. They raised us, my brother and I, they raised us up good.
Good breed of people. Love, okay?
But let me break it down. It was the choices that I made.
Right, I hear you.
Okay, and Deuteronomy 30 and 19 says, choose life and live that your descendants may
live. Come on.
That's imperative. That's imperative.
Right.
But it was the choices that I made is what made me do the things I did. It wasn't because my mom and daddy didn't love me or whatever. Nowadays, people, you know, them drugs hit the streets real hard, you know, crack cocaine
yes.
and all that.
Uh-huh.
Parents are on the drugs. Daddy's not at home. Grandma too old to raise them. And now, what do they look to? The young people I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
See, now God needs people like me. God needs people like you. God needs people that are instrumental to other people's lives to help raise those young people, to help pull them off the street. You can't help everybody. You can't save everybody, but you can try to save everybody.
That's
you know?
It.
And so that's what I'm going to be doing. That's what I'm going to do. I'm 45 years old, not ashamed to tell my age. I'm 45. I might have more years behind me. You know, I don't know. But the rest of my life from today on forward, I want every day the best day of my life.
That's it?
The Bible says today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So I'm happy that God woke me up this morning. I'm happy that God gave me my health and strength, that I can walk, that I can talk. I got my right mind. I'm happy because of that. And since he gave me that, guess what? I'm going to do what God wants me to do.
That's it. Right. And he's orchestrated everything in your life to come to this divine moment in time in order for you to be in God's will and his purpose for your life. And that's the thing people don't understand is that we have his divine will and his permissive will. God will let you get out there and mess up. But then when it's time to come back home, you know, he'll always forgive us. And that's why I said that grace and that mercy is so important. And it's vital in life, you know. And I'm upset. We are out of time. This is so awesome. I'm really enjoying everything that you have to say. My listeners are soaking it up. I know they are truly enjoying every single moment of this because this is hitting home. You know, for someone out there right now that's either contemplating suicide or you know, getting ready to, you know, do something that they know they shouldn't be doing. And they're hearing this right now and they're like, you know what? Life really isn't that bad. It really isn't. You know, you have so many choices. It gets back to choices once again. And I just want for you to know that you have blessed my soul on today with just even this short segment. I'm frustrated. We don't have more time. The segment is certainly getting ready to come to an end. But I wanted to just let you know that, you know, continue to do what you do. Continue to let other people hear your story. I'm glad you're not ashamed to tell that you forgave someone that could have taken your life. That's big right there. There's people that are angry right now over who left the top off of the sugar. You know, why is this fork in the sink? Or, you know, silly stuff. You know what I mean? She called me at 3 o'clock in the morning, and they mad. I mean, come on. That is ridiculous. This right here is real forgiveness. If you can forgive someone that almost took your life, then, for heaven's sake, you can forgive that person that cut you off while you was driving. Come on now, we gonna talk about it. road rage, amen?
Yeah.
I'm preaching to myself right now. Woo, Lord. Okay, your cousin got some issues, but I'm working on it, amen? That's all I can do is just pray. But, man, I'm getting better. I'm getting a whole lot better, okay?
Well, you know, the church is full of used-to-be's.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You should be all of that, but
yeah.
You don't have to be. You don't have to be that always.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Used to be. Amen. I like that. Well, it's been a joy speaking to you. I have just really enjoyed getting this opportunity to speak with you, have you on the show, and get to know a little bit more about my people. All right,
that's
down
right.
In the South. I'm just blessed. I can't wait to get out there to the family reunion this year and meet some more of my folks. All right?
That's a lot of them.
But, okay, but definitely just know that, you know, you're welcome back anytime. I'd love to have you come back, you know, maybe in 6 months or so, and let's recap on the latest things that have happened in your life. God bless you with that new church that you got. You know, I mean, this is amazing. I know God has really got some amazing plans. 2013 is going to be a spectacular year for the two of us, and I just always just believe that what you think about, you bring about. And so what we're bringing about is greatness and blessing.
Well, I don't have the building yet. I looked at it Sunday, and I'm thanking God. I got faith that he's going to bring me the finances.
Oh, you got that building. Look. We speaking things as though they are. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word. Yeah. Look, you got that building. That's yours. We going to claim it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
It's done. It's done. That's your building. You go sign the deed because it's yours, brother. Yeah, all right. Well, I got to just let you know that certainly keep in touch, you know, and you got me on Facebook now. My listeners, those of you can follow Anthony on Facebook. Just look up Anthony White. You can see him on my page. I've plugged the show on Facebook and Twitter. Those of you who are new to Brown Sugar Radio, I want to say thank you for joining us today. I hope you've been blessed as well. You can check me out on Twitter at Brown Sugar Radio. That's SUGA, Brown Sugar Radio fan page. Or you can follow me on Twitter at Brown Sugar Radio. All right? So it's been an awesome segment. You know, I always like to close with an inspirational thought. And the thought for today is life isn't about finding yourself. Life is about creating yourself. And I got that from Jada Pinkett Smith. She actually shared that on Facebook, and I posted it again. And I wanted to share it with my loyal listeners because that's what life is about. There's life and death in the power of your tongue. You can create a life of happiness and a life of abundance, or you can create a life of negativity and you know, heartbreak. It is up to you what you choose to do with your life. This amazing story today is certainly an example of that. Pastor Anthony decided that he was going to move forward in triumph and not tragedy. You guys continue to be blessed and keep it locked and loaded here on your premier choice in Internet Radio. This is your show host, Sugar. Thank you so much for tuning in to Brown Sugar Radio. Have a blessed day.
Amen.
This is the last take for the night. Understand it's kind of late, and I gotta get home to my son, 'cause he's so special to me. I mean, I gotta see him, I need to breathe him. That's my baby, don't call me crazy. I love the studio, but I love him more. Let me give you what I got, so I woke up in the morning feeling fresh to death. I'm so blessed, yes, yes. I went to sleep stressed, woke up refreshed, I'm so blessed, yeah, yes. Water in my face and everything is in its place. Peace of mind, even my grace. I'm so blessed, yes, yes, yes. My grandma almost lived to see 92, I'm so blessed, yes, 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 yes. My son was born healthy and beautiful, I'm so blessed, yeah, yes. My mama's on my right side, daddy on my left. Yes. My son, father doing his absolute. I'm so blessed, 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 blessed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I know what I know. And I know what I know. Trouble gon' happen, it's just the way it be. Ain't nothing coming easily in this life. Sometimes you gotta work and you gotta grow and it gotta hurt. I'm sure you know, take a look around. Woke up this morning listening to this song, you're so blessed. Yes, yes, gonna rock the joint.